Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Time for Senior Moments here. Brian Sexton with senior writer John Osier, senior executive Fabuloso producer Joe Fortunato, and I, the senior correspondent. Hurricane winds blowing, right?
Yes, they are.
At this point, as we're talking, the latest release we saw has it really impacting Florida and our area. News today that the Dolphins and Bucks are postponing their game. Mm-hmm. How fortuitous is this that they both had the same bye week?
Well, it's very much so, and I got questions from people asking, well, is it better? Is this the right thing? Should they have maybe moved it to a neutral site?
No.
And in the end, you know, there's no ideal in this situation. So a plan B is a plan B because it's not as good as plan A. Plan A was to play the game without a hurricane. Well, you can't do
that.
So plan B is you both have bye weeks, so move it. Yes, you lose your bye week in the middle of the season, but at the same time, in the interest of fairness, you don't. It's not fair to have the Dolphins give up a home game unless they absolutely have to.
Right.
So I didn't think there was much of an option in this case.
Well, here's what I liked about it. I like the fact that the players who were at work today and the coaches who are always at work could go home and help their wives and their children get ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So just localizing it, right?
Sure.
For us, we heard yesterday that we should pack extra clothes for Houston because if the weather's bad, we might not get back, might be redirecting to another site. The first thing I'm thinking of is, crap, I don't want to do that.
Right.
I want to be with my family.
Mm-hmm.
If we were landing in Atlanta, I don't care. I'm getting in a car and I'm driving home.
Right.
Because I want to be with my wife, kids, her parents, the whole nine yards. I'm sure you're the same.
Absolutely. Right.
And everyone who's listening goes, of course. The players are too.
Right.
The
They're not robots.
Right. You can't take them off site and say, all right, now let's focus on football and expect that they're going to focus on football.
Right. They're going to be doing, they're going to be doing what we're doing, which is Googling the hurricane path.
Exactly. So that's what I liked about it because it showed compassion and understanding. And now you get them there with, in fact, their bye week started today. The coach said, Adam Gase said, guys, go home, be with your families.
Well,
that
we'll
that relieves all
passes.
The pressure. Exactly. Right. Football is important. Family is far more important.
Right.
So from that perspective, as we're all watching this and seeing things come up, it impacts. And the most important thing anyone should hear from this today is they're not robots.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for a lot of the for a lot of the younger guys on the team who don't have families, who don't have just deep roots, homes in Jacksonville, maybe it's a little easier because, you know, our big concern obviously is we have family, homes, things to protect. Our lives are built here. Some of these guys are here and they're living in apartments. It's not quite as, you know, it's scary, but it's not life-altering. But
sure.
But for those whose roots are here and they're here, this is scary stuff. And whether you like it or, I mean, whether you want to or not, it's where your mind's going to
be. Well, I'm thinking of noted family men like Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny. I mean,
sure.
I mean, these are guys who are going to want to be in touch with their wives and their lives and their children.
And as the week goes on, I think we'll find out more about what the Jaguars are trying to do to allow that within the framework of getting ready for the game.
It adds another layer. So
it's
not plan A. And good for the Dolphins and the National Football League and the Buccaneers to make the hard choice. Easy choice as far as I'm concerned, but hard in that it affects the scheduling down the road. They're not going to get a bye week.
But I think by the time this thing passes, goes through, whatever, this weekend, it's going to seem like a pretty obvious choice and a pretty minor part of the story.
Just seeing the video from what happened on St. Martin when it was hit and the devastation there, if this thing is still a very massive hurricane by the time it gets to Florida, no one's going to be thinking about football for a while. So now, thinking about football for a while, the Jaguars do have this season opening game in Houston on Sunday.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know what to anticipate. I don't know whether the place is going to be ready to blow the roof off and the city's going to rally around it, or whether we could see a really unusual, half-empty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just have a tough time. I've heard the theory that it'll be half-empty, and there's just something about a game like this with an event, I would say in the rear view, but going on communities tend to rally around it.
Except that everyone's pointing to the Katrina thing, but that was a year later.
Right.
They didn't come home and play. They played at the Alamo Dome. They played at LSU. I mean, it's not quite the same. People are still digging out.
But there is a lot of Houston that's not. I mean, there's flood zones, and there's also parts from talking to John McClain, the Houston Chronicle, the other night. I asked him, and he said, no, we were lucky. You know, there's no flooding in my neighborhood. The neighborhood's fine. So my guess is that there will be enough situations like that. There'll be people there. And even if it's not absolutely packed, it will be emotional when J.J. Watt runs through that tunnel. As John said to me the other night, carrying that Texas flag and waving it, it's going to be a fever pitch. And I'm not trying to say just because John's house is okay that the city's okay. That's obviously not it.
Sure.
But my guess is, I just have a feeling that somehow this will prove on the field in that stadium to be more of an emotional lift than anything else.
Well, and you could tell that the Texans players, you know, they had been away. They had been at training camp, which they held at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. And then they weren't able to get back from New Orleans, and they went to Dallas. Right. And you could just see the look on their face, how much they wanted to get home. So I don't doubt that. I'm just a little curious of, you know, what you can expect in terms of a fan base.
Right.
Is it fair to expect season ticket holders who have been dispersed maybe all over the state of Texas to make it to your home opener?
Yeah, and the atmosphere and the surroundings for this one, you know, I've been doing this 23 years. I've had some weird situations. This one, between it going on here this week and then flying into that this week, I have no idea what to expect.
And by the way, there is a tropical storm in the Gulf of Mexico and one behind this one. So we might be dealing with this for another week after this.
Yeah.
Who knows if the Tennessee game, which is scheduled to be here on the 17th, doesn't have some sort of impact as well. I mean, all of that is to come.
But yeah, it's
I guess if people want to hear,
we knew, we don't.
If people want to hear football, they're going to tune into Drive Time on Mondays and Fridays.
Right.
By the way, which is almost as good as a podcast. Maybe even better when you look at it that way. 8:30 on TuneIn Radio on Mondays and Friday mornings. And it also goes up on Twitter via the folks at Periscope. I don't know anything about that. Just a couple of football thoughts. We were just out on the practice field. Didn't look like a long injury list this week.
Mm-mm. Well, no, that's the whole idea. You want to spend preseason. Getting through preseason injury-free is paramount. It looks like T.J. Yeldon was the one player not practicing. There's some minor stuff involving Blake Bortles' wrist. He's practicing. We'll be updated on that later. Jalen Ramsey with hip, but he's also practicing. My anticipation is Yeldon will be the only one that's major in any way in terms of a missed practice. That's the whole idea. You know, it's far better to be healthy this time of year than to have worn yourself down. And they look like a fresh, healthy team going into the regular season. That's what you want. And for this team, I think the freshness part is key. I talked to a couple of players on Monday, Paul Posluszny and Calais Campbell, who both talked about they feel like having gotten through the camp will have the desired effect, meaning this was a tough camp. And it, as you noted many times, it was tough mentally, physically. It was a grind. I think the hope is that those two or three preseason games, week two, week three, and everybody was really concerned about the defense getting blown off the ball. Perhaps the tough training camp was showing its signs there. And they both said, these are two veterans who are in tune with the team, said, we'll be better for that. And they're excited about the season because they want to see what that will yield. And I think that's a storyline that's not going to get talked about a whole lot, but it will be interesting. Is this the fresh team that benefited from training camp, or is it the team that didn't look good weeks two and three? That's $1 million question.
Well, I mean, think about it. They did have some tough practices between the Panthers game and the finale in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But by the time the starters get onto the field, except for a couple of guys who played guard that night, they will have been off for more than 2 weeks from the grind of a game.
You know, it's
so refreshing should be, you know,
that's what you have to do.
It should be the state of mind. It should be the state of body when they take on the Texans.
And you can say all you want about, oh, refreshing legs, excuses. Just think of it, you know, if you run 2 or 3 days in a row and don't take a day off, your legs are dead. And there's a little bit of, you know, that's a real thing that we talk about. It's cliched. People sort of eyes glaze over when they hear it. But during that camp time, it's real.
This podcast will now be recorded on Wednesdays for those of you who are listening, which is the first day really of the next work week for the players.
Sure, it's the starting point.
Yeah. So storylines, normally, by the way, off the top, we'll cover the big storylines of the week. And this week, it's obviously the hurricane.
But, right.
Football storylines, any that stand out as you're writing and getting ready for the rest of the week?
Yeah, and there's the stuff people are talking about. There's the off field, which is the hurricane. On the field, I'm not sure I've been in very few games before the game where it's so obvious what the turning point of the game is, what the big storyline of the game is. Can the Jaguars' offensive line and, by extension, the offense function against the Texans' defensive front? I mean, this is strength versus perceived weakness. Everybody thinks the Jaguars' offensive line is awful because of what they saw. Everybody thinks the Texans' defensive line is the best in the NFL.
It probably is.
Yeah, and so can they figure out a way to function? Can they run against it? As importantly to me is Blake Bortles is going to be under pressure. There's no doubt that he's going to have duress during this game. Hasn't always handled duress great. Well, can he manage the game? And I don't mean never throw by manage it, but can he be smart? Can he not fumble? Can he throw the ball away instead of taking sacks? Can he accept punts? And then when he has that opportunity, and even against pass rush, there's always a few plays that are there. Can he be mentally strong enough when the play's there to make it when it's there? Huge test for Bortles. Many people listening will say, well, no way he passed the test. He never passed the test. Well, that's not true. He does.
You're allowed to get better.
So this to me is, no matter how well the offensive line plays, he's going to be under duress. It's going to be a mentally straining game. Can he come through that and make the plays when it matters?
Hey, let me offer a thought. I don't know how pertinent it is because it's just practice, and we don't see that much of practice. Full disclosure, we're out there for the first 20 minutes. But even in receiver one-on-one drills and even in, non-pressure nine-on-sevens, mm-hmm. I have watched him in the past throw the football and thought, man,
yeah,
what is he doing wrong?
Right.
Because the ball just came out of his hand ugly, and it would flop. It didn't look as tight as the ball that Chad Henne or Brandon Allen was throwing when he was here. But the last couple of times that I've been practice,
yeah.
Every throw, he is throwing the ball, at least in those drills, more consistently. And from that, here's what I deduce. Here's my reasoning. He is motivated. He is focused on taking advantage of this second opportunity, like he talked about the day they announced him. It appears to me, for whatever it's worth, that he is actually taking advantage of it. I don't know that translates to Sunday, but what I've seen is somebody, because I'd like to think this would be me, if I got another opportunity to do anything, that I would do it better.
Right.
And at least he's practicing better.
See, I think
from what I see.
I think there may be something, maybe he's relaxed.
Yeah.
To me, he sort of reached rock bottom, which, Brian, I've been at rock bottom in my life. Has very much a second chance. And I think we discussed it on the podcast a couple weeks ago. This is a guy who nobody in the NFL right now thinks he's good. The whole thing is if he got released, now you go somewhere else, you're starting over. Well, he doesn't have to start over now.
Right.
He has a chance. He has this second chance. Is it focused? Is it relaxed? Is it whatever? I don't know, but it's a huge storyline, and I like the way he's throwing the ball. Can he stand up to what is – I'll just share this story. Remember, 05, 06, I'm covering the Colts, and they're going to play the Baltimore Ravens. And they wound up beating them on a Sunday night. It's a season opener. And I remember Peyton and Tony Dungy both talking after the game what a huge mental strain it was for Peyton that night because everything was at the line of scrimmage, and you had to make calls, and you had to accept in some situations you weren't going to move the ball. And then, boom, there was a play there, and they hit it. And they won like 24-7. It wasn't one of the greatest offensive games I ever covered. But I remember Tony saying later it's the best Peyton's ever played. And he threw for like 250 yards, and but it was because he had beaten them in this mental battle under duress. I think this is the kind of game the Texans present. Blake doesn't have a reputation for being that guy yet, for making the key play at the right time. He's going to have to, because no matter how well they run the ball, you're not going to win the game by running. He's going to have to make some plays in the face of that. Can he do it? I don't know. But that's what I'm going to be watching is, does he make decisions at the right time? Does he reduce the turnovers? Does he throw the ball away when it should be thrown away? Which is, it's probably going to be five times where when he dirts the ball, you go, oh, good play, because it wasn't there. Huge for him.
All right, so we've mentioned a couple times, Fridays, Jaguars Drive Time, 8:30 on TuneIn Radio and also on Twitter. What's coming up this weekend? Anything new for folks to look for on the site?
On Thursday, you and I will go over some keys to the game for the next game. And on Tuesdays, we'll come back and see how we did. On Saturdays, we'll be talking to yourself, Brent Martineau, Jeff Logman, Tony Baselli, J.P. Shattuck. Everybody's sort of – we're calling it final analysis. And it's the final look at what people think about the game. It's something new this year I'm excited about.
Great. So lots to look forward to. We're only doing this once a week.
Absolutely.
It'll come up on Wednesdays, but three times a week you get this Lively Banter.
Whether you like it or not.
And right now I do like it. So that's John Osier for Joe Fortunato. Thanks for listening to Senior Moments, folks. Stay safe.